It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Good morning, Napa. This is Lee W. Miller. Just as Lauren had suggested, it is time for another episode of All Things Napa. We are happy that you are here with us today. And if you don't know it already, when I'm not behind this microphone, I am a full-time realtor. That's what I do for a living. I love being a realtor. And I'm actually the official realtor of Windown Media, KVON and KVYN. And I also started Napa Business Advantage. That's a great business referral group here in town. And what makes us a little different than other business referral groups is once a quarter, we like to give back to the community by having a little mixer, and we choose a micro nonprofit. We choose a small one because we raised $500, and that makes a big difference to a micro nonprofit versus, you know, giving the Red Cross $500. That still would be beneficial, but probably not as appreciated as $500 to a very small nonprofit. So if you know any business owners that want to increase their business and get together with some other very high integrity professional business people, reach out to me. And reach out to me about anything about my show or real estate at leewmiller@gmail.com. I'm always open for feedback and suggestions about our show. Big thank you to our sponsors, Narvaez Insurance Services and KBSLeaders.com. You can see what those folks do. I greatly appreciate their support. But the reason that I'm here is, like Lauren said in the intro, I am a serial networker. This is not what I do for a living, but I really do enjoy connecting people. And so that's why I do this, and I have these great guests in so that you can learn about them. And on today's show, pretty diverse topics. We've got Heidi Charette. She's the executive director of Watermark Communities, which is very important. That's retirement living, and with our silver tsunami approaching, or maybe it's even breaking already, depending on what perspective you have. So we're going to learn a little bit about Watermark Communities and the one that's nearly completed here in Napa. And then we also have Dave Macero from Weld Napa Valley. Completely different topics, so it should make for an interesting show. And we're going to bring Heidi on in just a minute, but before we do that, as you know, we always do a Napa nugget, a little trivial thing about Napa that I like to throw into the mix. And this one just really made me stop and pause. The Napa Valley has a dry Mediterranean climate. We know how wonderful our climate is, but did you know that our climate only exists in 2% of the entire Earth? Now, that's some pretty special company to keep. We are in the 98th percentile of perfect climate. So that is your Napa nugget for today. All right, with no further ado, why don't we just jump right in and talk to Heidi? How are you, Heidi?
Good morning. Good morning, Lee. Very well. Thank you.
Good. It is a beautiful day, and a beautiful day to be on the radio, if there is such a thing, right?
That's right. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Good. Well, we're happy to learn about what you're going to be sharing with us today. So before we get into the facility and the organization, tell us a little bit about you. And, you know, as it relates to our Northern California, Napa, Sonoma communities.
You bet. So I am actually from Southern California. I moved up to the Napa area for this position, opening this lovely retirement community here in Napa. You know, Napa being the most wonderful destination, why not come up here and do what I've done for 25 years here in the Napa area? So I'm so excited. I've met so many wonderful people. We have people who have already decided to move into Watermark. So getting to know, and you mentioned connections, and I'm so thrilled that I have so many connections already in such a short time. We've been leasing since the summer and continue to. We will be opening our community this summer. We're scheduled to take residence July, August.
Wow, that's coming up pretty close.
It sure is. It sure is. We'll be here before you know it.
When we drive by the construction site, it doesn't seem like that could be possible
right,
at this point.
Right. So we're going to be posting some more pictures on our Facebook page, on our website, showing the construction on the inside. So we've got worker bees that are inside that are putting in all the kitchens, painting, putting in the flooring. So what you see outside still needs to get done, but inside it's all coming together.
And for our listeners, if you're not familiar with the site on Solano Avenue, just north, I mean, like right next door to the Justin Siena ball fields, that is that big, tall, what is it, four stories?
It's three stories.
Three stories. Seems
correct.
Like four.
It's three stories and 103 apartments. Yes, we actually are on Justin Siena property. We lease the land from Justin Siena.
Okay.
With the idea being that we're going to have amazing intergenerational programs with the students at Justin Siena.
Oh,
and some
man,
of our residents have even gone to Justin Siena themselves or have grandchildren that are there. So just an amazing opportunity for students to, if they have a project and they need to, instead of Googling the information for their project, come over and talk to an older adult who's actually lived through the
era. Wow, that is really cool. That is really cool. All right, so quickly tell us just a little bit about Watermark as an organization.
Sure.
And the different properties, and then we can zero back in on the Watermark facility.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, happy to say that Watermark has been in operation for 30 years. We have 60 communities around the nation. David Freshwater, our founder of Watermark, joined David Barnes, who is our president, and they are extremely innovative. I remember the first time I met David Freshwater, and he told me, Heidi, I want you to do what has never been done before. And so that's the way we are approaching our Napa Valley community. It is one of five communities that Watermark has identified as a very luxury brand, an elegant environment for retirees. Our property in Napa, there's two in Tucson, one in, Brooklyn, New York, and one in Beverly Hills. And we call it the Elan Collection. So if you'd like to see more on the Elan Collection, I invite you to our website, Watermark at Napa Valley. And there's also a wonderful YouTube video with the Davids, David Freshwater, David Barnes, on YouTube at the Watermark at Napa Valley. So you can get an idea of what we're doing in some of our other locations as well.
The Elan, as in E-L-O-N?
E-L-A-N,
okay,
and it
more
just means
okay.
An elevated brand, luxury brand.
Okay. Yeah, not anything to do with Elon Musk.
No. No, correct. Correct.
I just want to make that clear. So it is a luxury brand. So this is made luxurious. How?
So we, of course, the construction, the finishes. Opiden is the developer, and they're located out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then Watermark will be the management company that oversees the property. But not only the finishes, the structure itself is phenomenal. We'll have outdoor gardens. We'll have an outdoor fireplace, water features, a Pilates and yoga deck in our courtyard. Your apartment will have a full-size kitchen. Washer and dryer, and floor to ceiling windows. So beautiful natural light.
Wow.
Overseeing the hills of Napa. And then also the elevated programs that we will be doing, something that is very specific to Watermark, and we're really happy to bring it to Napa, is our program called the Watermark University. And it is an auditorium setting in the community where you, the members of the community, would teach these classes. So based on your life experience or interests, we have our members actually do the semester courses. So you'll get a catalog each semester of what courses are being presented, and you'll have an opportunity. We have professors, we have doctors that have already reserved an apartment that are very excited to do the program.
So they're students, and I use air quotes for students.
Right.
Would they be other residents or other people outside of?
We will hire speaking of, you know, for speaking events, but the Watermark University is dedicated to our residents, our members, to be the instructors.
And that, this is your area of expertise, mm-hmm. so I'm a layman here drawing this conclusion. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
This could be invaluable to help maintain sharp mental acuities by continuing to learn, as opposed to, okay, I've retired, I've moved into this facility, I'm going to watch reruns of Gunsmoke and Bonanza all day, every day.
Well, you know, you're spot on, because many people decide to stay in their home because they picture what senior living or nursing home living was like back in the day. We are so far from that. This is a resort style living environment. You're moving into a lifestyle. So if you're a home and you're alone, you've had a spouse that's passed away, or you simply as a couple really want to be more vibrant in your experiences, we'll be doing day excursions, weekend excursions, and just the opportunity for socialization and those connections that you talk about.
Yeah. So yeah, the learning is invaluable, but yeah, having that social interaction on a regular basis is just so important.
It is true. And the other part I wanted to mention is we have independent living, assisted living, and a memory care unit. And so you can come in completely independent, still keeping your social schedule. And if you come to need care, our footprint is we are all in one building. So you do not have to move across campus to an assisted living building separate from friends and staff that you've gotten to know. You literally transition to the other side of the community where our caregivers are located. So it's not a big upheaval. It's very subtle, very organic as you start to need services.
You just essentially, like if you were in a hotel, you'd just be moving down the hallway.
That's
a little
right.
Bit.
That's right. And important to know that the apartments in independent living are the same floor plans as in assisted living. So what you don't usually find in assisted living is full kitchens in assisted living apartments. Our assisted apartments will have full kitchens, washer and dryer, so that if you do have to make that transition, you're not giving up anything. You're literally moving to a same floor plan, just closer to where the caregivers are located for quick response time.
It's so wonderful that everything that you are describing is... it's causing me to think back to the opposite of that.
Right.
I was a young man. I had a paper route. On that paper route was a convalescent home, and five of the residents in there took the paper. And it was rather traumatic for me to run in there and make the big loop and drop off the five papers. And all of the things that I saw while I was a 12-year-old boy that... was literally being begged by some of the residents to help them escape, and the odor of urine and body odor and everything was just that's etched in my mind more than anything else. And you know, as a young boy, it kind of makes you very fearful of growing old.
Well, as that, and then of course your parents have that impression as well, because that's all that was available. You know, the Department of Social Services will be overseeing our community. That was who we will have our license with. The rules and regulations are such that older adults are so much more protected than ever was before. In fact, I teach regulatory compliance to other executive directors in California for their continuing education hours. So what I can promise is that our community will be held to a very high standard within the state and federal regulations.
What are some of the other things that you want to be able to make sure that you share with our audience? And we're talking to Heidi Charette, the Executive Director of Watermark Napa Valley.
So again, a full life is what you will experience here at Watermark Napa Valley. You will have three restaurants to choose from, different dining cuisines, from a light fare to a formal dining room, similar to what you would experience here in Napa. We have award-winning recipes by Rebecca Katz of Healing Kitchens. So our menus will change. Our members will be able to meet with the chef on a regular basis to say, this is what I love. I didn't like this menu item so much. Let's change it. So this is your community. We will have committees and chair people for different committees. So very, very much your community, and we're there to serve you.
That's pretty unique in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And also a community life director that will be doing all of the programs. There will be daily activities. There will be those longer excursions. I want to touch on our memory care unit. What's wonderful about our property being on the same footprint is if you come in as a couple, you will age differently. It just happens way.
So just like we all mature differently.
Mature differently, have different needs, the lifelong learning that you were talking about. So what will be important to know is if you come in with your spouse and you age differently, we have all three levels there. And in the event that a memory issue comes up, one of the spouses can be in independent living and one can live in memory care and still be under the same roof and still visit and not feel that they have to go across the campus or to another community. I'd love to share this story briefly. As a gentleman came into our leasing gallery, which is located at 2999 Suite A on Solano Avenue. That's where you'll find our kitchen. One of the kitchen is built up. We have renderings and we have the different floor plans so you can select your unit. But this gentleman came to me and said, my wife lives in assisted living here in town, and I've been apart for her for 2 years. I've been living home alone. I showed him our assisted living area. He selected an apartment that he and his wife are going to live together again after 2 years.
Wow.
So that's, you know, my heart is full. I was 9 years old, and I volunteered in one of those nursing homes that you were talking about. And I have served older adults all of my life. So when I see that, you know, my purpose here is to tell you about Watermark at Napa Valley, but to let you know that there will be a real heartbeat in this community because the people, myself and the people that I will be bringing on as the top talent, will be sure to provide excellent service.
Wow, that's really exciting for our community. It sounds so wonderful. But I'm sure that our listeners are thinking, wow, that's really classy. It's probably an arm and a leg to live there.
Great question. We're very competitive in the market as far as retirement living. We are a lease option. You do not have to buy the unit. So you do not have to part with $500,000 to $1 million to purchase the apartment. It's very easy. You come in. There is a membership fee because of our elevated brand, similar to a country club. There's a membership fee. It's a one-time fee to come in, and then you pay a monthly rent. But what's included in that is your utilities, is housekeeping services, dining, the excursions, Watermark University, all of that is included. And then, of course, if you come to need care in our assisted care, then you have the caregivers who would be checking on you every couple hours and providing the care and services that you come to need.
That's great. Okay, once again, we're talking to Heidi Charette, Executive Director of Watermark at Napa Valley. And if you want to get in touch with Heidi, Heidi's going to tell you how to do that right now.
Yes, thank you. Please call the Leasing Gallery, Watermark at Napa Valley, at 299, well, the address is 2999 Solano Avenue, Suite A, and the phone number is 707-345-1480. That's 345-1480. And myself and my membership team, Alma and Jim, will be more than happy to answer your questions and visit you in the leasing gallery.
And I know Alma.
Yes.
Heidi, thank you so much. I'm really happy that your so dedicated to the elderly and that your wonderful facility is opening here in Napa Valley. Thanks for being a guest on our show.
Thank you, Lee, and thank you, Napa Valley.
All right. All right. Welcome back to All Things Napa. That was pretty interesting talking to Heidi Charette of Watermark Napa Valley. Boy, I would love to live there. I wonder if there's an age thing. Maybe I can move in there right now. So, you know what I forgot to do in the first segment was talk about these upcoming events. The Vine Trail Locomotion event, which is on 321. That might even be sold out now. I was on the board of the Vine Trail for 5 years and just recently stepped down, but I continue to be a big advocate for that program. It's just a world-class project that we're doing, this 47-mile trail from Vallejo all the way to Calistoga. But then one of my other favorite events is BASH, that's Appalachian St. Helena, competition amongst the CIA students there to eat really, really good food while tasting the very best of Appalachian St. Helena wines. And then, of course, Bottle Rock coming up, Memorial Day weekend. But let's not also forget on April 25th, the Zero Prostate Cancer fundraiser, which is going to be at the Napa Valley Distillery. That should be a fun event and wonderful that the Napa Valley Distillery is going to host that. And if you're not a spirits guy like me, don't worry, there will be wine being poured there and lots of wonderful auction items. Nobody likes prostate cancer, so reach out to me at leewmiller@gmail.com if you want some more information about that wonderful event and how you might be able to help while having a good time. That's what we're hoping to do there. So, all right, with no further ado, whatever that really means, it's my pleasure to introduce to the program now Dave Macero. Dave is the owner, the founder, the grand poobah of Napa Valley Metalworks in St. Helena. So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Lee. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, happy to have you here. I love the diversity of having just all different sorts of business owners or businesses local here and helping promote themselves. And I know you're quite successful doing what you do, and you're passionate about welding. So before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your background, because you're native to the Napa Valley, correct?
That's correct. I was born and raised in St. Helena and did much of my schooling there and some over in Sonoma County. But graduated from St. Helena High School back in 2006.
Oh, you're just a child.
I know, I'm just a baby. But that was actually where I picked up welding. They had a shop class there, which got destroyed and then rebuilt now, and it's state of the art. So back then,
How did it get destroyed?
Oh, they bulldozed it.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, the year after I left.
Intentionally.
Intentionally,
okay.
Yes. No accident.
Yeah.
No, so back in 2007, they leveled the building and then got rid of the program entirely. So there was no wood shop, there was no metal shop, and they got rid of the shop program. And there was a huge outcry from the community to bring it back. And they did, and they did it with vengeance. And it is an incredible program now that they have.
Okay. So because you were a student in shop, and I'm probably guessing that you did metal shop and wood shop and maybe auto shop, all three or at least two?
Auto shop was actually gone by the time that I got there.
Okay.
The metal shop and wood shop was combined into one program, and I had it for between 3 and 4 periods a day.
No way!
And I worked a deal with the art teacher to be able to go into the metal shop and make metal sculptures.
Did you ever take any math, science, or English classes?
You know,
you seem very well spoken and intelligent, so you must have gotten that somewhere.
I did just fine. Actually, I went straight from St. Helena High School down to California State University at Long Beach and did construction engineering management.
So. Very nice. But 3 to 4 periods a day in shop. Wow, good for you.
I worked it out to my benefit.
No kidding. Man, yeah. That, you know, we're always told to be an advocate for ourselves, and that's really being an advocate for yourself at a very young age.
Well, you know, I found something that I liked that I was passionate about, and the old saying, you know, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
And I've never worked.
That's so cool.
I've just had fun and people. You know.
We've all heard that expression, but so few people actually live it.
That's true. And it's, you know, ultimately it's a choice. If you don't like what you're doing, you have a choice to change it. And thankfully I've never had to change my profession because I love what I do. And, you know, it seems to be a useful and a great skill to have. That's kind of a dying trade, sadly, but
so many of the trades seem to be, I don't know about dying, but less in demand and less, certainly less supply, which you would think, well, those people like you that have an affinity and a love for that, there's a perfect opportunity for them to make that their vocation.
It comes down to the whole educational system and teaching shop and teaching kids skilled trades, because when you get rid of those programs in the public schools, all of a sudden it's no longer an option. Everybody is pushed to get a 4-year degree, and you must be a doctor or a lawyer or some sort of, you know, corporate executive. And it's just not true. You know, a lot of people like to work with their hands, and they like to make things and take a kind of a mental concept and turn it into a tangible reality. And shop class is a perfect place to do that, to really create something that's in your mind and things that last forever.
Right. I am so grateful for the summer between 7th and 8th grade, long before you were even thought of. In the early 70s, I had the opportunity to do summer school metal shop, and I still have at least 3 of the pieces, you know, the things that I made. And, you know, I went to college, I did the whole business thing, and I've been in the corporate world and, you know, now making my living in real estate. But I often think back to how much I appreciate having gotten to weld and, you know, and bending the piece of metal in a circle, you know, starting with a flat piece and rolling it through the whatever, I don't know what those things are called, but getting it tighter and tighter, and then, okay, there it is, and now I need to weld it together. It was just really, really cool for me to be able to do that. And so I can fully appreciate how you enjoy doing it, but you're also teaching it, correct?
That's correct. I teach at, you know, 2 different locations, one up in St. Helena, where we do 7th and 8th grade. So it's kind of a younger...
That was the age that I got my hands on it. So,
And then I do a program here down in Napa through the Napa County Office of Education with their at-risk youth. So we get it's a combination of about 3 different high schools, and it's kids who may be on probation or have been truant or kicked out of, you know, the local high school, and some of them just need to be pointed in the right direction, and they need a little bit of guidance. And this metal shop and the metal program that we have there has really, really gotten positive results from the students. And there's full engagement and full involvement. And everybody, you know, I had one student, for example, the first day that she was in there.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. She.
Oh, well, it's a big thing is that, you know, it's not just a male-only trade. It may be dominated by males at this point, but the number of females that are joining the welding industry is steadily on the rise.
All because of Shameless.
All because of Shameless.
we'll skip that. People that heard it, if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. We're talking to Dave Macero from Napa Valley Metalworks in St. Helena. I've got some questions for you that might... appeal to others as well. So what is the difference between a welder and a fabricator?
Okay. Not to kind of downplay it a bit, but the welders, a welder is just simply that. It's just a welder. It's just going to be melting metal. And there's no fabrication mode, there's no, they don't have to cut their pieces, they don't have to prep them or put them together. It's all done by somebody else in the fabrication side.
Oh, okay.
Or a prepper will do that for them. So they have a specific job called a fitter, like in the pipeline industry. The pipe fitters will get everything all prepped for the welders, and the welders just show up, do the welds, and leave. And again, the fabricators...
They're told what two pieces of metal they want connected.
They're already given them all prepped and ready to go.
Okay.
Which is the fabricator's job. And the fabricators, you know, will lay it all out. They do the measurements. They drill the holes. But they won't weld it together. So a welder fabricator is a combination of those two things, where it's somebody who will actually kind of design, engineer, and then manufacture a product by itself. So that combination is the most valuable, because you're actually cutting an entire job out of the picture there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a, you know, most of us just don't think about things like that. There's a building, there's a structure, whatever, I'm going in it, and you don't really think of everything that goes into everything from the design to the fabrication, and then, oh yeah, the welding is important, but you can't do it without all the previous activity.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, and welding is such a huge aspect of our everyday life that we don't really realize it. You know, everything from, say, a coffee maker to the SpaceX shuttles, they're all have some degree of welding involved in them. You know, automobiles.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely autos.
Bridges, trains, any sort, everything in the transportation industry, everything that we deal with in life has some degree of welding in it at some point in order to make it successful.
Wow. Yeah, bicycles, obviously. So.
Absolutely. And a lot of that, you know, the custom bicycles are all done by hand. Something that you're going to buy at Walmart is probably done by machines or, you know, robotic.
Okay.
But still... welding.
Well, and there's all these different types of metal. So depending on what metal you are welding, there's different heats or different, I don't even know how to ask the question, but I can tell in your eyes, you know what I'm getting at. So talk about that.
I know where you're going. So, you know, the metallurgy in it is absolutely fascinating to me anyway. Some people are like, whatever, it melts, right?
Right.
Technically speaking, you know, there's really only two different types of metal, and that is a ferrous metal and a non-ferrous metal. And the difference is
iron. And how do you spell ferrous?
F-E-R-R-I-S.
Okay, as in the wheel, but not really.
Right. Ferrous come in F-E, so the atomic letters for iron are F-E. A simple way to remember it is that ferrous, F-E, contains iron, and non-ferrous is a non-iron containing metal. So aluminum or copper or gold are all going to be non-ferrous. If you have like chromoly, stainless, mild steel, they're all under the ferrous category. Generally speaking, you can weld all the ferrous metals together, and you cannot combine a non-ferrous and a ferrous. So you can't weld steel to copper. That's a really big misconception that people... bring a piece of aluminum and a piece of steel and say, well, weld these together.
Right.
Down to a molecular level, they just won't mix. So,
okay. Not to mention, aluminum will melt very quickly on hardly any heat compared to steel.
Absolutely. You're looking at, you know, this 600 to 700 range, and on aluminum up to, you know, the 2700 range.
Wow.
In steel.
4X, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I know we didn't talk about that. That just popped into my head, so I had to ask that question. So you're still a very young man, but you've been in this industry for quite a while. What changes have you seen thus far?
Not as many changes as, you know, the old timers that are starting to retire. But some big industry changes that I've seen is the use of the CNC, which is computer numeric controls. It's all automated plasma cutting or water jetting, which is both forms of cutting metal. The computers are really taking over that industry. A lot of it was done previously with a torch by hand, and then the plasma cutter was developed, which shoots an electrical plasma arc, in combination with compressed air. So the arc heats up the metal, the air comes in behind it and blows the metal away. You can get really exact and precise with those, and especially now with the use of computers, the possibilities are just limitless. So the use of computers, and like we had briefly talked about, the robotic welding is really taken off. Most car manufacturers now use strictly all robotic welding just for the efficiency and the
accuracy, probably. I mean, you eliminate the possibility of human error.
Exactly. And injury. Oh, there's no injuries.
Right.
So that's really taking off in those areas. There's also, I think there's more of a demand for the trade now and for all skilled trades in general than there used to be, because there's not as many people, since they did cut those programs in the California schools, which California has recently allocated $20 million to bring back vocational arts into the high schools, which is awesome and amazing.
That's awesome, but $20 million doesn't seem like very much money at all for you said, for the state of California?
That's for the whole state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you're right, it's not enough.
It's a couple thousand bucks.
It's better than nothing.
Right.
So just getting even small programs up and running in the schools to get kids' interest. And once they have the enrollment and they have the generated interest, there's going to be that support from the community. When the kids come home and they tell their parents, this is what I did today, or this is what I made. And then the parents can really change the community with the vote and saying, hey, look, we want to bring these back. We want more funding for this, and starting the initiatives and starting those types of programs elsewhere.
So when you started talking about the difference that you've seen in the industry, and you talked about the computer generated, my initial reaction was, oh, because here I am before that comment thinking, wow, these are the guys that work with their hands. And yet now if my grandson wants to be in your industry, he may never touch a torch.
Yes and no. You know, there are a lot of jobs being cut by automation, but there's also industries that will forever and always require the human touch. And the eyesight, you know, being able to visually see a problem, because if there's sometimes you have impurities or contaminants in a metal from the manufacturer, from the mill, and it just happens. And when you're welding, those impurities or contaminants can cause defects in the weld, which can cause it to fail. It can cause porosity, similar to like a lava rock that has the gaseous kind of porous nature to it. That same type of structure can appear in the weld, and it can cause it to fail. And if it fails on something critical or structural, like a building or a bridge, it can be catastrophic. And the robots don't pick those up. They have to go through the Q&A and the quality assurance. So
is there a way to post robotic welding have the human inspection and pick it up, or is it something that really can only be seen during the welding process?
Both. Some of the contaminants will come to the surface and you can visually see them. For structural things or nuclear, you know, on reactors, all of those welds are actually X-rayed, and they'll penetrate the weld with an X-ray. And if they detect any impurities or contaminants in it, that entire section of weld will have to be removed and replaced.
For that X-ray inspection, can that be done before the weld even takes place? I've heard Chinese steel is inferior to U.S. steel. And as a lay person that knows nothing about that until what you just said, I always thought, well, that's kind of like a political, you know, argument that they're fabricating, no pun intended. wow, that was pretty cool, was actually. but have you experienced that where you're welding with something, wow, this steel is junk, it's got these impurities in it?
Absolutely. I've done several years of the wine industry here in the Napa Valley. You know, it's a very common thing here is stainless steel. And a lot of it has to be for the wine industry is going to be like a food grade sanitary weld, which is welded on the outside, penetrates through the metal and welds on the inside of the fitting as well. And those are where you can really see the difference in the quality of metal that you get from your supplier. So if you get cheap Chinese fittings, you'll have all of a sudden this little explosion or volcano pop out and put a hole in your product potentially. When you buy from the cheap Chinese manufacturers, and it's because it, it breaks down when they're manufacturing the metal itself, they're taking all of our scrap and recycling, you know, it needs a little bit of, they're throwing paint cans in there and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Their levels of nickel and chromium in the stainless, which give it its, you know, rust resistance properties are lower and they're at the bare minimum of the scale. So traditionally, stainless isn't supposed to be magnetic with a traditional magnet, but some of the stainless steels that come from China are definitely magnetic because they contain those lower levels.
That's fascinating. And there's so few people that can speak to that entire subject because we just don't know, but because of your experiences, you've seen it firsthand. That's just, especially to a guy that's been in the corporate world, I'm just mesmerized by how it's like the more you learn, the more you learn how much you don't know. And this is kind of one of those aha things, like, man, I know nothing about what he's speaking about myself. Well, so I'm fascinated to learn it. So,
well, I like to think that, you know, us welders are the one percenters. You know, if you line up 100 people in a row, maybe one of them can do what we do.
Right. No, I you know, the other thing I've heard about the 1% segment are those who have run a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Only, in the entire world, only 1% have run a marathon.
Right.
So I did. I'm in that 1%, but I'm not in the in the welder 1%. So what are some common misconceptions about the welding trade?
Oh, boy. Well, one of the biggest ones is that we weld with fire. A lot of people, you know, what do you do? I'm a welder. Oh.
So you're always wearing that helmet, huh?
Yeah. It's, you know, I love, oh, that must be fun. You get to play with fire. Well, that's true about 100 years ago.
Or in my case, about 40. Well, actually 50, but who's counting?
Not so much, and it's an oxyacetylene setup is what they're referring to. It's a combination of an oxygen and acetylene gas. And, you know, it's not used very widely anymore. It's used in shipbuilding and some construction. They use it to cut thick metal accurately and quickly. But as far as welding with fire, it's really not done anymore. PG&E is one of the only last people who really require that skill to be a welder with PG&E on their pipelines. Other than that, it's not really widely used anymore. It's all gone into an electric welding.
You mentioned PG&E and fire welding. I'm like, wait. There's other ways that they can weld the gas pipelines and they're still using fire? That begs a question and explanation. So, of all things that should go away from fire, it would be those welding gas lines.
And you know what? When they weld them, the gas escaping from the seam will actually catch on fire, and it's a good thing. Because what you don't want...
Oh, is for it to build up.
Is it for to build up in the bottom of a pit, and then they blow up.
Okay.
So if you have a stream of fire shooting out the side, you're not at risk of really blowing up.
Okay. And that makes sense, but if I saw a stream of fire escaping from a gas line, I would be panicking and running, not going, okay, we're cool.
Well, in their big... their main lines, you know, like their 36-inch main transfer lines... They can't just shut off the gas to install a new segment. They need to continue, you know, delivering this to all of their customers. So what has to happen is that line has to be installed while the pipe is pressurized. And they'll come in, it's called a hot tap. They'll drill in their new section of pipe and they'll weld it all in with the gas present and flowing through.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That, I mean, you know, you see the bomb squad guy. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But if that pipe blows, no amount of helmet and pads are going to save that individual for sure.
Right. One other misconception, and we briefly talked about it earlier, is that welding is for men only. And that's a big misconception that's kind of dissolving away as more girls get into the industry and more women pick up the trade. Partially from being exposed to it in these, you know, new vocational programs at the schools. We're really seeing an increase in the number of women that are entering the welding society. And I think it's a really wonderful thing to get the diversity in there and kind of knock out that misconception there.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that point. So we talked about the impact that it has on society and that it's everywhere. Is there any additional points that you want to make about that?
One through the county office here, then the county office of education, is their attendance rates have gone up. Kids who are involved in the class want to come to school because they want to be in the program. They want to learn, and they really see it as a career opportunity for them, which it is, because, you know, it's done wonders for me. And they see it as freedom and independence, you know, from this kind of structured work world where you have to be a doctor or a lawyer, you have to go to college, and those are your only options. So knowing that they have an out that may speak to them and provide opportunities and, you know, career potential for them is a really big impact, I think, that welding has. It's kind of overlooked, but...
No, I totally get that, because they may not like their math and English class, but I'll tough it out because fifth period I get to weld, and they see their future in that and all of that. So, you know, most people can't be in the shop four periods a day and then still come out like you have. they need the other basic skills of communication and things of that nature. So,
well, you know, I think if you or your child owns a fidget spinner, I think shop is a great thing to consider for them, because they want to do something with their hands, they want to stay busy, and it's something that's positive and meaningful that keeps them busy the whole time. And a lot of times at the end of class, kids don't want to leave.
Right.
They want to stay in the shop. They want to hang out. They want to finish what they're working on. And that's the real drive. They get a personal connection to this project. And they have a sense of pride in finishing it.
Right.
That they really want to display this piece that they've created off.
Dave Macero, Napa Valley Metalworks in St. Helena. How does somebody get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation, or if they want a referral, or, you know, they just want to learn more about the program? Or should they bypass you directly and go, you know, give some contact information for folks?
All right. Well, for me personally, you can reach me on Instagram at Napa Valley Metalworks. I got a phone number you can reach out to, is 707-888-7148. And the programs that I run, the one specifically that makes the most impact is going to be through the Napa County Office of Education. It's through the Corton Community Schools, like I said, the at-risk youth in the Valley. And we are solely nonprofit, you know, community run. So if you wanted to make a donation or check out that program, it would be, you know, a real impact on for us. And so,
okay. Well, thank you very much for being here. It was fascinating. The time just flew by, and I'm really glad that you were able to share that information with us, and I look forward to talking with you some more. Okay, folks, that's going to wrap up this edition of All Things Napa. Remember to live your life as if your legacy matters, because it absolutely does. Talk to you next week.